Hello, my name's Joan. I'm one of the nurse advisors at Target Ovarian Cancer. And myself and my colleague Val are going to have a little talk about clinical trials.
My name's Val Lang. I'm the other nurse advisor at Target Ovarian Cancer. For this podcast, I've taken the part of a woman with ovarian cancer using real questions that women have asked about clinical trials. I hear a lot about clinical trials and things are spoken about, but I actually don't know what clinical trials are. Could you explain what a clinical trial is?
It's another name for a research study of a new drug, usually. That's what they're trying to test, whether that's going to be a better treatment than what they usually would give somebody. So quite often they're testing a new drug against the normal drug, or sometimes they're testing a new dose or a new way of giving it, perhaps giving it weekly, so there's three weekly different ways of doing something with a drug that isn't normally done. And because it's new, it's not available just to anybody at any time, and they have to make sure that it actually is a good and effective treatment. So you have to get the evidence for that, which is what the clinical trial does. When they've got enough evidence and they feel sure that that treatment is working well for people and better than the standard treatment, then everybody will have that treatment instead, because it'll be a better treatment for people.
So if I went on a clinical trial, if there was one that suited me, I've heard that there's different parts to a trial and some people get a new drug and some people get the old drug. Would I be able to choose? Because obviously I'd want the new
Of
drug.
course, The thing about a trial is they're testing to see if that new drug is better. If they knew it was better, we wouldn't have to test it. Everybody would just get that drug. So it's not guaranteed that that is a better drug than the normal, usual drug. And the way to make that fair and to look at it properly and to check that it is working better is to do a randomized control trial, which is where people are randomly allocated which treatment they're going to have, whether it's the usual treatment or the new treatment. So unfortunately, you can't choose, and it's just done by a computer to
Oh,
find
so
out who gets what.
your consultant doesn't choose which
No,
one
your
you
doctor
can
doesn't
have.
choose and you don't choose, and they don't have any control over it either. Because it is a trial, which means it's a test, so it's nothing's guaranteed. The usual treatment could actually still be the better treatment. So that's why it's
Okay,
done that way.
I understand that. So I've also heard people talking about phase one, phase two.
So the different phases in a clinical trial sort of history. Phase one at the beginning is usually given to just a handful of people, and it's more about just usually just testing to see how safe it is for people and how well it might work. It's quite often given just to just a small group of people, and then if that's going well, they would then open it up to more people. So phase two would have a lot more people on it, and if that still goes well, phase three then goes out to a very, very widespread amount of people, where they're looking at lots and lots of data, and sometimes that can involve thousands of people, and the trials can go all around the world on a phase three.
So might it be that with a trial they do phase one and then they might decide that it's not working properly or something happens and they cut the trial
Yeah,
or
sometimes they would stop at phase one if if they've got evidence to show it's not being very good as a treatment, then they're not going to waste any more time with that by carrying on. So
that's good
it's
to know.
each phase to go on to the next phase, that phase needs to have been successful.
So how would I find out about it? Do you have to go and look for your own clinical trials or does your doctor help you with it?
Yeah, your oncologist should know all the information in your hospital about what trials are available that might be suitable for you. There's quite stringent rules on a trial. So you have to have, for instance, the particular type of cancer or the stage of that cancer, or it may depend on whether you've had treatment before or not, or what that treatment might have been. So there's a whole set of criteria that you would have to get through to be able to be okay for that trial. So although a doctor might think you're possible for the trial, until they've gone through screening tests and the criteria, they wouldn't know for sure whether you would get on the trial. But the oncologist is the person that should know. If there isn't something suitable in your hospital, there might be some in other hospitals if you're able to travel to somewhere else. So usually the oncologist would know about trials that are happening elsewhere in the country. It's always worth asking that as well, if you feel you are able to move somewhere else for the treatment. which means you can get referred to another hospital. Sometimes, because of your situation and your disease, there may not be a suitable trial at the moment, but it's always worth asking the doctor to keep his eyes open for you, because things come up all the time. And there's also sometimes, when we go back to talking about the phase one trials, quite often they might be available for a wider group of patients, because some trials on phase one are not just about one particular cancer, it could apply to several cancers. So the criteria might be quite as strict, and it might be sometimes another opportunity to get onto a trial if there isn't something else suitable for you. And again, discussing that with your oncologist is the best way to go forward for that. Some of the bigger hospitals in the country, bigger cancer hospitals, might be running a lot of phase one trials, like the Royal Marsden or the Christie. They often have phase one trials on the go. So there's always possibilities, and there's always more trials coming along. So even if there isn't something right now, there could be for later on.
So are they quite strict about people that go into the trial, or do they overlook things? Does it have to fit strictly into the rules? Do they ever bend the rules?
No, they don't. It's pretty strict because of the way they're set up. They're looking at the scientific data from a trial, so that everything has to be very, very set so that everybody fits into the same criteria. So they don't really have opportunities there for sort of waiving different rules, because it's not quite right. So it's a very stringent process.
So what are the benefits of joining a clinical trial?
Well, the benefits really are, even if you leave aside which particular treatment that you feel you would like to have, I mean, yes, there's the possibility of a brand new treatment that you can't get otherwise, and it's some marvellous, wonderful drug, and you've managed to get it, and it does you lots of good, and that's a possibility. You could also be on the normal standard treatment, which may still be the better drug of the two. You don't know till the end of the trial if that's the case. And what would happen is you get a lot more sort of looking after on the trial. You get more monitoring and more checking and more tests and more doctors looking after you, more nurses looking after you. So you get a little bit of a closer eye kept on you. So some people find that very, very beneficial. Some people don't like it so much because they feel that they're always in and out of the hospital. There might be a few more appointments than normal, a few more scans and things, and people would find that a bit more intrusive and rather not do it. But generally, people find it beneficial that they're being looked after more often and seen more often by the doctors and nurses.
And is it your CNS that looks after you when you're on a trial?
Not necessarily. Your CNS will always look after you. You will always have a named CNS that will help you. But if you go to a research trial, you have a research nurse who acts in a very similar capacity to the CNS, but she is just there for the purpose of the research trial. So she will help you in lots and lots of ways, and she would be your key main contact then for any problems that you had or anything you needed to ask. It would be your research nurse that you'd go to. They often would work hand in hand with your CNS and would work together with the doctors as well to sort of make sure that your overall care was taken care of.
If you asked if you want to take part in a trial when you're starting some treatment and you say no, and then you change your mind a bit later down the line when you've started treatment, would you be allowed to swap and go on to the trial?
It's unlikely, because you will have already started some treatment during that phase of your illness. There is no reason why you might not be able to join a trial for another time, for another reason in the future. There's no harm in you ever asking. Occasionally, there might be some trials where having had some treatment doesn't stop you going on the trial, but usually it would. So usually you make that decision before you start the treatment.
So you need to think carefully when you're offered.
Yeah, so when somebody talks to you about a trial, as well as talking you through the whole thing, you should have written information about it, and plenty of time to read that and ask questions and to understand the difference between the trial and your normal standard treatment, so that you can make a decision based on that as to what you feel is going to be best for you. Obviously taking in your doctor's advice, but they can't tell you whether to go on the trial or not. They can just put it forward to you to say that this might be a good thing for you. But it's your decision ultimately, after you've looked at the information for both the standard treatment and the trial treatment. So you look at it before treatment, you make your decision at that point to see if you want to choose the trial or not choose the trial, and then you start your treatment. So if you did start it and then think, oh, I wish I'd gone on the trial, it's usually going to be that it's not possible to go on the trial then, because you've kind of broken some of the rules of the trial at that point.
but there's nothing to stop you having some involvement in some research trials at a future date.
So the opposite question to that then, if I spoke to the trial nurse and the consultant and I was offered the trial and I fitted the criteria for the trial, and I say, did I want to go on the trial, and then I go home before my treatment starts and the trial starts, can I change my mind then? Can I say, I don't want to do the trial before it's actually started?
You can have signed every piece of paper and had every conversation in the world, and up to the minute before you can say, no, I don't want to do that now. You can also start the trial treatment and then still discontinue it if you're not happy with how things are going. You actually don't even have to give a reason. You just have to say, I don't want to do the trial anymore, and then your doctors will get you back onto the normal standard treatment.
So it's my choice. It's always my choice.
Your choice, because this is all done under a voluntary basis. So your consent is sought, and they call it an informed consent, which is where they talk to you about the trial and give the information so that you understand everything that you're agreeing to. And if you change your mind, you change your mind, and that's absolutely fine. And they will, and it won't impact on your care in any way. You'll get the normal care and you'll be looked after. And also, sometimes a doctor may have to take you from a trial because that treatment is actually not doing you much good. And possibly causing you some really bad side effects. So sometimes it might be a medical decision that you might have to leave the trial, and they keep a very close eye on you just to make sure that everything is okay from that point of view.
So you always need to make sure that you tell the consultant or the trial nurse when you go to your appointments any side effects, even if you think they're small or...
Absolutely. You should be doing that anyway, because lots of treatments have side effects, and you should be letting your medical team know how you're feeling and how you're getting on. But on a trial, they're very, very keen on all the details and keeping a record of everything as to how people are feeling on their drugs and what's happening. Because that is part of the actual clinical trial procedure, to see what the drugs are doing to people. Because you'll see you want the good effects, but they also need to keep an eye on the bad effects as well. So yes, you must always let them know exactly what's what and how you're feeling. And you'll still have the chemotherapy hotline number that you would have under normal treatments, because you'll be treated in exactly the same way through the chemotherapy unit. So all of those processes will apply as well.
So are all the trials about drugs, or are there different kinds of trials?
There's lots of different types of trials. Mostly people with a diagnosis of cancer, and they're looking for treatment. So the main things when we talk about trials is we're talking about treatment trials, because people are interested in getting newer and better drugs to control their cancer, make them feel better. But there are lots of other things that get put onto a trial basis as well. Not just how well the drug's doing as regards treating the cancer, but just the other side of things as to how well people cope on that particular drug and how they feel on it, how they manage. Because that has to be okay as well as the good treatment effects. Quite often your research nurse might give you a questionnaire to fill in about things, how you're feeling, how you're coping with things. So you might get asked to fill in surveys and answer questionnaires about how things are going and what sort of how life has been and how well you're coping with everything and how fit you're feeling. So sometimes that means, you know, you don't have to be in and out of the hospital quite so much at all. You might just be being sent things at home, or you might, quite often nowadays it'd be done by email, I expect. So it might be that you can help that way.
So if you go on a clinical trial, I presume when the clinical trial's over, and I think quite often that can take a long time, years even, is it always a positive outcome, or do they sometimes find that the way they did it before was better than what they've been trying to look at on the trial?
It can be both. I mean, sometimes that's the way, and they find a new drug and it's so much more helpful than previous treatments, and that's obviously the goal. But sometimes they find out that the drug's not as good, or just about the same, and maybe it's got worse side effects, so it's not a nice treatment to have. So that can be variable. There's no guarantees with this. It's just that this is the only way we can get new and better treatments. Any drugs that people are having now have been through this process already several years ago. So people now are benefiting from others that have done all this beforehand. So sometimes what you're doing, you do hope it's going to help you, and quite often it can help you.
but it's also a lot more about the future and helping people in the future, and making sure that they've got some better treatments. This is the process it has to go through, and it can take a long time. So there's no guarantees, but usually people do benefit from it. It's just that's the only way to get new treatments. That's the way to do it. That's the safest and most secure way to get a new treatment.
If I've got any more questions, or you know, things that come to you when you think things over, where would I be able to get more information?
We've got information on our website, the Clinical Trials Information Centre, which will have the current main ovarian cancer trials listed on there. So that gives people an idea of what's available, which hospitals they're being run at, and gives them some information about that and people that they can contact to ask about it. Always ask your oncologist and your clinical nurse specialist, because they will have a lot of information about what's going on in your hospital and might be able to direct you towards the research people there. You can also call us on the support line to ask questions about clinical trials, either one in particular or just trials in general, and get some advice and information about it.
Thank you.
And just to repeat, if you do have any questions at all about clinical trials or anything that we've spoken about on this podcast, please do give us a call on our support line. 020 7923 5475. Thank you.